Thank you, Brother Brad, and choir and orchestra, and that is a wonderful song. And sometimes we probably should just stop and give an invitation, because that may be the cry of somebody's heart this morning, that my life is broken and I am in despair and I don't know what to do. Then you must come to the King, because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords desires that we come to Him. He welcomes us. He encourages us. He urges us. And we have an invitation to come to Christ. And I don't want you walking out of here today until you've been in the presence of the King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, King Jesus. I want to ask you to take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Now, this morning, when you came in, as you do every week, you get a little bulletin, and on one side it has some information about stuff going on the other side it has a sermon outline. Let me tell you that that sermon outline is not going to do you one bit of good this morning, not going to help you a bit, because I labored over a passage of Scripture, and when I labored, I mean I did. I worked hard on a sermon trying to put it together, and I got it put together, and I never really was quite pleased with it, but I got it put together anyway. Because it doesn't matter whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. For a preacher, Sunday is always coming. So you know you don't want to walk in the pulpit and not have something to preach. So, and it was a good sermon. But then I worked on Sunday nights and got everything ready for Sunday night. And it was almost as if I didn't hear an audible voice or anything like that. But the Lord said to me, that's what I want you to preach on Sunday morning. And I want you to take what you were going to preach on Sunday morning and preach it on Sunday night. So if you are an outline personality and you say, I got to fill in every blank, then I want to encourage you, that which I worked on hard and labored on so that it's not a waste of time, you got to come back to church tonight. Now, is that a hook or what? You need to come back tonight so you can fill out your little outline and have everything that you need so you can sit back and say, my week is in order. Okay, so what I'm doing this morning is a little bit different. And I am turning and I'm going a bit of a different direction. But it all fits within the context, obviously, and I'll help you fill out a little bit of your outline as you go along. So look with me at Romans chapter 8, folks. This is a word from the Lord. Romans chapter 8. Is a word from the Lord. Romans chapter 8 may be that the greatest portion in God's word for just plain old practical living with the Lord Jesus, walking with the Lord, walking in harmony with the Lord, walking in harmony and with an expectation of what God has for us in the future. Romans chapter 8 is my favorite chapter in all of God's word. And it begins with these words in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation. So if you're filling out your outline, then Romans 8, 1, we know this, now and forever, those who know Christ as their Savior are not condemned. Now and forever, you are not condemned. Then he says this, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And the tense there is aorist tense, which means it's a verb tense, which means something happened in the past and it has consequences still going forward. So when he says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free, it simply means you were set free in the past and you're still set free today. This is what Christ has done. It's kind of like you say, okay, so I was married. Okay, you were married. Betty and I were married in 1974. I think I got that right. And so we were married in 1974. That's a verb, married, but we still are. So it has ongoing consequences, believe you me. It has ongoing consequences. And so so we are set free now and forever, now and forever. And then verse 3 and 4, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. We have been lifted up. We have been lifted up out of our sin and we've been set free. And that happened in the past. It happened to me in 1972 when I came to know Christ as my Savior. It has ongoing results. It is still going on. The decision I made for Christ nearly 45 years ago has ongoing results. And I don't see an end to that. It's going to carry all the way in to heaven, to eternity. There's no end to it. It is now and forever. Now, here's where I am going with this morning. Even though I am not condemned now and forever, even though I am set free now and forever, come back tonight, you'll get the full implication of that. Even though I have been lifted up, set free from my sin now and forever, the truth is, there are times that I do not fulfill verse 5. Look at verse 5. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do not mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And this idea of minding something, paying attention to, it's not so much as you mind your parents, although you better mind them. It's what you are locked in on. It's what you're paying attention to. And so there can be a time in a person's life, even though they've been now and forever, they are not condemned, now forever, set free, now and forever, they've been lifted up out of the mess that they've been in. There's still time when we begin to mind paying attention to the things of the flesh. In effect, this is what I think happens, and that is it's possible as a child of God to get out of tune. You say, "But I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven." But you're out of tune. And so I know that the finest instrument, you take this beautiful piano over here, we have to have tuners come in on a regular basis because the piano gets out of tune. This group that plays over here in the orchestra, they have to tune every Sunday, because it's very important that they be in tune, I think. And it's very important that they be in tune. And so every now and then you have to take your car in, maybe not so much as it used to be. These old cars we used to have, I mean, you had to get them tuned up all the time. And every once in a while, your body gets out of tune. You just know it. It's like there's something just not right, John. He's kind of fighting some kind of a deal, and I'm kind of fighting it too, and he says he thinks he's going to go to the doctor, and I said, "Well, good, go to the doctor, and I won't have to. Get me some extra drugs." But we know our bodies, the body rhythm, the cadence of our bodies, it's just, you just get out of rhythm. You know that something's not right. You cannot necessarily put your finger on it, but you know something's not right. And if that's the case with the instrument in an orchestra or this piano over here, or if it's the case with your automobile, or if it's the case with your body, then I will tell you that you spiritually can get out of tune. It doesn't mean that you're under condemnation, because now and forever you've been set free from condemnation, and now and forever you've been set free, and now and forever you've been lifted up. But it does mean, when he says this in verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is dead, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And some people would say, "Well, okay, so looking at verse 5 and verse 6, and then this whole conversation about the carnal mind, that has to be talking about a person that doesn't know Christ." And if that's what you think, then you are wrong. Paul's writing this to believers. He's saying your salvation is not going to be lost. Your condemnation has been taken care of. Being set free is very important, but you yourself can get out of tune, and it messes you up. Dr. Donald Barnhouse said that the death spoken of in Romans 8 must be understood as the loss of life, as dedicated to God and blessed in Him on earth. There are many Christians who have physical life and who go about their task, even religious tasks, but who are not rejoicing in the great triumphant realities that are available for us, but which remain unclaimed and unused, life in this passage is nothing less than the abounding triumph of the believer in the joy and fullness of the Holy Spirit. So a believer can get to the point where there is no joy and no fullness. And even though you're not dead spiritually, not like you were when you were lost, even though you're not dead spiritually, there is still a death that settles upon you, so that practically speaking, you're not much use to the kingdom. So he's calling for victory in Jesus. He's calling for spiritual living. I think many of you have listened to me preach long enough, you know that one of my hero preachers was Vance Havner. Dr. Havner told about an old mountaineer that had an old fiddle that was way out of tune, and every Saturday night he would turn the radio on and there was some kind of a concert violinist somewhere that would be on the radio, and that old man with his old fiddle, he would sit there and listen to that concert violinist until one day he sat down and wrote him a letter and said, "I have a violin, I have no way to tune it. Would you send out a good strong A?" And so the next week on the radio program, the violinist got on there and said, "Here you go, old timer, here's your A." Well, you know what? As Vance Havner said, in our bewildered world today, do we need above all else the sounding of a good, strong New Testament A that we might be in tune? I'm going to read till verse 18. Let's pick up in verse 7. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, if the Holy Spirit is not in you, then you're not saved." Verse 10. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." I want to talk to you about four tuning forks that come out of this passage of Scripture. Tuning fork number one is the desire of the saint. These are God's tuning forks. And when you come to know Christ, he puts a desire, I don't know any other way to put it than to say, not only does he put the joy, 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 joy down in your heart, he puts the desire, the desire, the desire, the desire down in your heart, the desire to please him. How does God keep us in tune? Given the fact that we can get out of tune, how does he keep us in tune? It's because when we're not in tune, it bothers us. And if you can be out of tune with your Heavenly Father and it not bother you, then you have to wonder, does the Holy Spirit live in me at all? If you can disobey the Lord, walk away, do your own thing, you have to ask yourself the question, am I going to go to heaven when I die? And that's a very legitimate question to ask. Because one of the things that happens that keeps us in tune is the desire that God puts in us. If we're not right with him, now I'm talking to children of God. I'm talking to those of us in this building and those that might be listening today that say, yes, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But there are times in your life when you get out of tune, you're not right with God. You must admit it. You've got to come up to the fact and admit it. There are times in my life when I am out of tune. Well, what puts us back in tune? The very fact that God has put down in our heart a desire to please Him. We want to make our Father happy. It's a desire. It's a hunger in our heart. More important than anything else, that we might please Him. And so when I read verse 5, and it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit," I consider that, and this is what I see. I see that the fleshly mind is a worldly mind. And someone has said you could judge a worldly mindset by looking at three things: affection, attraction, and attention. Affection: what do I love? Attraction: what am I drawn to? Attention: what do I follow? Now, if I'm judging my worldly mindset by my affection, my attraction, and my attention, then I must also think about this passage of Scripture that comes out of 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, that says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." There are a lot of things that attract us. Now you say, "Brother, my most attractive thing to me on Sunday morning is, man, I'm going to get up and I'm going to come to church." Amen. Praise the Lord. We're thankful. Thankful for you. But there are a lot of things beyond church. There are a lot of things outside church. There are a lot of things outside our spiritual life. And we know that we have a worldly mindset when those things that are beyond our, outside our spiritual life, begin to dominate our spiritual life, when knowing Christ and the desire for Christ is the most important thing in a believer's life. Martin Lloyd-Jones says it means political interests without God, social interests without God, cultural interests without God. He said it means those three things. Well, it's got to mean more than that. But I have to think about my political interests. How many of you all are political critters? Yeah? Okay, so I read the Drudge Report every day. I got to know what's going on. You know, and I read the news every day. As a matter of fact, I'm checking several times a day. And I have to think that Washington, D.C. is the biggest nut house that there has ever been. I do. So I have great political interests, and I follow all this kind of stuff, and I follow the health care debate, and I... Lord, have mercy on us. So I follow. I've got a great interest in that stuff. And then I have social interests. And social interests, without God, a worldly mindset. Now, I think this is not taking the Kentucky Wildcats into consideration here, okay? It's not. Set that aside. Paul wasn't dealing with that. He didn't mention that. But we have our social interests, and we have our ball teams, we have our sports and all this kind of stuff. And you know, a lot of times what we're doing in the lives of our children is we're just creating such a social interest in activities that go on at least 6 days a week. And we push 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 and we push, not understanding that there is going to come a day when those social interests are going to have a determination on the direction of their lives, how much of the fleshly mindset that's going to come in there instead of creating a desire for our Lord. There has to be this desire for the Lord in our heart. And then there are all the cultural interests around us. All of this is just to say there are things in the world. All of you say, "Well, but I got to live." And so there are so many important things out there. Yeah, but there should not be, as a believer, there should not be one interest you have that takes the place of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one. You say, "Oh, Brother Mike, that's your opinion." I think Jesus said something about, what about your eye if it calls you to stumble, pluck it out? What about your hand? cut it off. Jesus is saying, if any man comes after me and hates not his father, mother, sister, brother, and all that he has, if he doesn't set those things aside because the love of Jesus is higher than all of those things, he says he cannot be my disciple. Don't develop a fleshly mind. Here's the thing. The desire for the Lord must always be paramount, and that is the desire of the saint. I got to move quickly. Number two, the dictates of the Scripture. The Bible says here in verses 5 through 7, for they that after the flesh do mind things of the flesh, they that after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The dictates of Scripture. We have God's Word to guide us. We pay attention, our mind. We mind the Word of God. We're lining up with the Word of God. But when we don't line up with the Word of God, our life is out of tune. We have to be in line with the Word. So the further you go in your walk with the Lord, this book becomes all the more important. A Christian who does not consistently read the Word of God is out of tune with the God of the Word. A little Sunday morning discipleship is not enough. As a child of God, and if you want to be in tune with God, you've got to spend time in the book. When we read the book, and we spend time in the book, it has this power to take our mind and draw it to God and take us away from a mind the mind of the flesh. It brings us back to focus on God. And if you don't read the Word, then how do you know what God's Word says? And if you don't read the Word, then how do you know you're supposed to walk as a Christian? If you don't read the Word, how can God bring you back in tune? Every person in this room ought to be a reader of the Word, and not just for a Sunday school lesson, or not just for a sermon, but the Word of God ought to be the most important thing you read every week. Not little bitty snippets and bits and pieces or something you can grab online. I'm talking about taking this book and read it. And you know what it does? It tunes us up. And I couldn't tell you this morning how many times in reading God's Word, God, in daily reading, puts me right where I need to be to get a word from Him. Here's something God's Word says about walking in the Spirit and about being in tune. It says this in the book of Galatians chapter 5. And oh, how our world needs to hear this, and some of you need to hear this. See, if you're not reading it, you're not getting this. In Galatians chapter 5, it says in verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now this is what the Word says. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft or sorcery, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I told you before, as I also have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. What's he talking about? He's talking about what we mind. And the focus of some people's lives are found right here as works of the flesh. Adultery. I can tell you that if you're living in an adulterous relationship, you are out of tune. You say, but Brother Monty, I'm saved, and I'm saved now and forever. Well, if you are a believer and you're living in adultery, you are out of tune. Fornication. It's talking about premarital sex. So either if you're involved in premarital sex or you're living with somebody and you're not married, you are out of tune. He says uncleanness. So if you're spending your time on the computer and you're wrapped up in pornography, and it has its claws in you, and it has its hooks in you, you are out of tune. If you live your life thinking about one party to the next, you are out of tune. If you're living your life in idolatry with all kinds of idols, maybe not manufactured stone that you bow down and worship, but there are many other idols. If you're caught up in sorcery, you are out of tune. If you are a hater of brothers and sisters, if you are always looking for a fight, if you are filled with wrath, if you love strife, if you are a drama queen, you are out of tune. So what straightens us out? God's word. We come back to God's word. You see, God's tuning fork is, number one, the desire of the saint to be right with God. Number two, it is the dictates of the scripture to walk after him. Number three, it is the direction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us. In this passage of scripture, the Bible tells us down here in verse 9, it says, but you are not in the flesh, but are in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And then it goes down here in verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God leads his children along. The believer in tune will find built into him a global positioning satellite way down in his heart, so that we're not right with God, though, so that when we are out of where we should be, when we're not in tune, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit triangulate so that they bring us back into tune. I'm here to tell you this morning that the leadership of the Holy Spirit is real. The last time you heard from him must not have been the point when you came to know Christ as your Savior. It must be in a daily walk with the Lord. When I look at the Bible, this is what I see. Just reading in the book of Acts, the Spirit said to Philip, go down to Gaza. The Spirit caught away Philip from Gaza, and the Ethiopian saw him no more. The Spirit told Paul to go. The Spirit would not allow Paul to go. He went bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. And all of those refer to the work of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Somebody has said that the book of Acts should not have been titled the Acts of the Apostles, should have been titled Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what we have here. And so a simple reference called Strong's Concordance, you can go to Strong's Concordance, and if you look up like Holy Spirit, or you look up Holy Ghost, then this is what I find. I find 46 different references in the book of Acts alone where the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is guiding the people of God. That was 2,000 years ago. Does he not still guide us today? Well, of course he does. The Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you to all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He is our guide. How do we get back in tune? We get back in tune because of our desire to follow after him. We get back in tune because of the dictates of Holy Scripture. We get back in tune because of the direction of the Holy Spirit, and we get back in tune through the discipline of suffering. He says down here in verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. If y'all are hearing all that noise, I don't have any idea what it is either, okay? And that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We miss out sometimes on understanding the benefits of suffering. And when Peter wrote in First Peter, he made a statement about that when we suffer, when we go through suffering time, we suffer as a believer. He said there's nothing to be ashamed of when we suffer as a believer. Well, we know that we do suffer as believers, and sometimes we suffer under the disciplining hand of God. When we're out of tune, there is this tuning fork, the desire of the saint to be right with God. There's this tuning fork, the dictates of the scripture that help us get back in tune. There's this tuning fork, the direction of the Holy Spirit that help us get back in tune. But then there comes along the discipline of suffering. Suffering comes from many sources, but clearly in this text is talking about suffering with Jesus. And it says, if we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified with him. But there are other sufferings. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And this is what I know. Beyond the fact that I'm out of time, this is what I know. If you are a child of God and you get out of tune, he will get your attention. Now, the Bible says, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. What sweetness it is when God gets a hold of us and shakes us. It may not be easy. It won't be easy. And God always knows what place to put his finger. I mean, we got a chiropractor in this church, and he always knows where to make you jump. What place to put the finger? Must be right here. Uh-huh. The Bible says, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Because our God is so good and because he loves us so much, then when we take the bit in our own teeth and we determine to get outside the will of God, we determine to be out of tune, our God loves us so much that he will get our attention. You haven't been to the woodshed till you've been to his woodshed. Now, a person on the outside of faith and that doesn't know Christ, maybe they don't care. But because right at the front we talked about the desire of the saint is to please the Lord, then I can tell you as one who always wanted to please his parents, and I always wanted to please my parents. Now, that's a good thing. But sort of in some ways I grew up to being a people pleaser, and I want to please everybody. And you can't do that. You'll go crazy as I am, crazy as those people in Washington, D.C., who want to please everybody and they don't please nobody. That's a different sermon. I could have got off on that, John. But I just know that when we are not in tune, it messes up everything around us. Our heart is not right with God. Here's a classic illustration, a classic definition of why we need revival is because our hearts get out of tune with God. Charles Finney said revival was a new beginning of obedience to God. Well, God brings us back. He may take us to the woodshed in the process. And all different kinds of suffering can invade our lives. Things that come in, and you may say, well, it's just being in line. And sometimes, folks, we suffer for righteousness' sake. Because we are walking with him and we're serving him, and this old world begins to turn on us and turns against us. And the Bible says that we know when that happens, we're bound for glory. That the sufferings of this present world are not even worthy to be compared with the glory which we shall have hereafter. God has prepared for us, but he also uses all of this to bring us back, to bring us back, to tune us up. Are you out of tune? Do you need to stop and tune? He's trying to get your attention. And you may need to this morning just say, take me to the king. I'm broken. I'm tired of this mess. But I know there's things in my life that's not what they ought to be, and I know that I'm not right with God, and He is calling out to you by His Word, by His Spirit, by the disciplines in your life, all for the purpose, dear child of God, to get you back in tune. I want you to bow your head with me this morning. Brad and Janice come, and we get ready for an invitation. I will tell you this altar is open this morning. And if you want to come, just get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm not in tune. I'm not where I ought to be, and I'm not even where I want to be. I want to be where you want me to be. Would you tune me? Would you tune me? Bow your head with me this morning and stand with us as we bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, I ask you that you would put us in perfect harmony as the body of Christ here at Concord, that you would tune our hearts with your Holy Spirit, with your Word, with the future glory that you have planned for us. Lord, would you turn our attendance, our attention, our affections away from things that pull us away and put our minds, may we mind the things of the Spirit. May we mind the things of God. You take the priority, Lord. You are above all. You are above all. Tune us this morning, Lord, I pray.